Greetings, travelers.
Greetings, travelers, for the last episode of Alien April from Mark and Erica.
Wow. Wow.
I wish everyone could see Bo's face right now the way I can, who I think literally has no clue what's going to come out of my mouth when we start these episodes.
That rendition of Ode to Joy is right up there with Ode to Joy.
Aw, I don't believe that's true, but we're going to keep going anyway. So today is a fun holiday.
Oh, is it?
It's Beltane.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we just had Walpurgisnacht and all this, and we are now in Beltane. This is the holidays are flying.
So
oh my
what
gosh.
Is Beltane? Do we know?
Well, it's one of the fun turnings of the wheel. We've got all kinds of stuff that you do with this. Again, it's all about spring and coming into the world, but it's also the Gaelic festival. I would say, you know, May Day is probably the most famous.
It's halfway between the spring equinox and the summer solstice.
That's right.
So it's like the halfway mark. And I do have some ways you can celebrate, Mark.
Bonfires, usually. That's the
bonfire is a big one. Yes. Another one is take an action on a project you're working on. That's a start midway through. Treat yourself to a special meal or aroma or music. I feel like a bonfire with wine and mead and dancing around it with lots of smells.
You know, the maypole, you know, and tying ribbons to branches and making your wishes. That's the sort of thing that's big with this. And then also watching The Wicker Man, the original.
Okay, well, I'm going to let that one go. But if you're listening and you haven't celebrated yet, it is a great excuse to go out and throw yourself a nature party. Tie a ribbon around the tree. It could be a fun thing you can do with your kids, have them make wishes.
Yeah, so there are specific ribbons that you're supposed to tie that are safe for the trees and stuff. So
yes, please do that. Do not
trees and the animals. Yeah,
let balloons loose in the world because those are devastating to nature. We don't like that. So let's talk a little
happy
bit.
Beltane.
Yes, happy Beltane. Happy Beltane. So let's talk. Today we decided to do a really special episode because we were inundated.
Well, we've gone a little bit. We try to do these about once a month anyway. And this month we got a lot of listener tales. And this is one of our most requested episodes always because people love them. Well, to be fair, you got to send us some for us to keep doing these, but you all always deliver. So we have.
And how do people send listener tales, Mark?
They can contact us on any of the social media platforms. Or they can visit erietravels.com and there's a contact us right up top. And right there is a spot where you can send us questions, you can send us tales, and it comes straight to us. My goodness, you guys delivered in spades because it was to the point where I was like, okay, we may need to do two this month because there were plenty. But I think we're going to squeeze them in here.
Yes. Okay. So I want to start.
All right. Let's jump right in. So yeah, I think, and again, I don't put them in any order, but Eric always thinks I do. So
I don't know what kind of spell he does. And some traveler out there is going to answer this because I just decided to start myself, but I feel like somehow he's influencing it because I know I'm going to end up getting the heebie-jeebies. Do not shake your head. No, Mark, you liar, liar, pants on fire. Here we go. Okay. Serious question for Bigfoot and other travelers. Do you believe in fairies? Oh, I already like this, I think. Okay. Here we go. These days, I see a certain sort of response to any sort of Bigfoot skepticism, namely that there are quote-unquote knowers who have seen a Bigfoot. These individuals are honest and their sightings are vertical. Did I say that right? Vertical. Therefore, Bigfoot is real and therefore skepticism is misguided. But one can make exactly the same claim about fairies. Last night, I was reading the latest issue of 40 in Times.
Hey!
February 24, I renewed my subscription since you all did 40 in February.
Well, hey.
Why are we not getting money from that?
I know, yeah, 40 in Times. We're looking for that sponsorship. Let's get a call.
It contains an article about a fairy census. This was a good faith attempt to catalog fairy sightings. I would recommend a look into this fascinating website. Well, we should do that. Bo, click
we'll
it.
We'll definitely do that. We'll put a link.
Okay. Here we go. If you accept the reality of Bigfoot based on sightings alone, then logic compels you to accept the reality of fairies based on sightings alone. From the Fairy Census website, there are literally hundreds of records from the last 500 years where individuals claim to have seen fairies. They've talked to fairies, they've killed fairies, they've slept with fairies, and in some cases, they say they've gone to live with fairies and raise children with them. This is from Tim. Well, hello, Tim.
Hi, Tim.
I absolutely do believe in fairies, in the fae. Yes, yes, yes. 100%. As much as I believe in Bigfoot, I believe in fairies. That is my feel, Mark.
No, I 100% think there is more out there than we know. And the fae is one of those that so many people talk about it from all over the world in different encounters of things similar to it that, yes, I think this is a very real thing. We have a good friend who bumped into us at the festival, Encounter Quest, and he's a guy who saw a what would be a Pukwudgie or a Stump Jumper type thing, and it might be a fae. You know, I think they're related, so we'll find out. So, but definitely, yeah, I think logging again that whole thing with 40 and times putting this up. Please report your sightings. Yes, 100%. Let's do that. It's document, 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 document.
Yes,
we know what we're gonna find.
Agreed. Oh, you got to throw yourself in here.
I mean, I agree with both of you in that there are a lot of things we don't know, preternatural. Thus, anything could probably be real. We'll find out eventually. And I agree with Mark. Write everything down. Tell somebody. Let's put it all in one big database and we'll data is got what's going to help us find out if something is real or not.
Agreed. And I also have to say just out there, it is horrible to tell somebody that what they're seeing is not real because perception is reality. Like that's what they're seeing. I was listening to our RPG episode and he said it again, like we just have to be willing. You don't have to agree. You just have to be willing to accept that it could be somebody else's reality. So yes.
And I think some of these things are visible to some people and aren't to others. And we don't know why.
Yeah.
I think that's just part of the study that we've got to figure out.
Agreed. Okay, you're up next, Mark.
I want to say one last thing on that. I think it's kind of like cilantro. Some people, it tastes like soap. Yeah, we don't know why. It just does. That's the same thing. Some people just can't see these things. All right, so next tale. Thank you for that, Tim. So
yes.
Sorry for the anonymous tale, or maybe it's a question. My family and I live in the Northeast Tennessee. Oh, hey, we know that area well. We moved into our home way out in the country several years ago and have all had odd experiences since. Everyone in the family hears voices often, which range from a whisper to a yell. Clock and smoke detector batteries continually have to be replaced regardless of the brand used, especially near a full moon. I have saged the house several times, anointed with oil, and laid salt lines, which seems to help activity for a while. Our recent incident is a new one. My preteen swore she saw a huge cat or something looking into the window a few months ago from the front porch at night. The other night, as I was walking down the hall to go to bed, I saw something in the yard. It was dark, and the creature appeared black. It turned its head sideways, and I could make out a long snout with a red eye before it went down the hill. It had to be 7 or 9 feet tall for me to have seen it from that window. I don't feel like it's a friendly thing. And I also think that the salt lines along the porch kept it away. Ideas, suggestions, anonymous.
Thank you, Anonymous. We all know Erica's first suggestion.
Yeah. Nuke the site from orbit. Only way to be sure.
Yep. Nuke the site from orbit. Only way to be sure. That is interesting. The battery draining thing is really interesting because that is something that's
usually a sign of some energy drain of some sort, but you know, usually a negative charge that's pulling that out. So
the first suggestion I would have is the iron railroad spikes on your property. Corners of your property. I would do that. The next thing, because this height of this and what you're saying, leads me down a little bit of a Dogman Rougarou path, right?
Yep.
So the other thing you could try is the pennies, right? On the porch, which is you put 13 pennies on your porch in order. That's something you could try. And then the other thing is, if you want to tell us where you are, we could have one of the teams that we respect and trust come out to you.
Yeah, and walk your property and look for things. I mean, that could be simply a bear. Yeah, 7-9 foot tall bears do get that big. And in Northeast Tennessee, that is bear territory. It could be a big cat. There are sightings now. They're calling them alien big cats, not that they're aliens, but that they are not normally native to this area, but they are coming back. They used to be native to this area, the catamounts and the things like that, which are extinct, but maybe they're not. We've got bobcats and other things like that. So either way, it could be something not friendly. So the salt would keep those away anyway, because they don't like the smell of humans, generally. That's the normal side of me. But also with all that combining, yeah, I think you've got some sort of nature spirit or creation kind of getting onto your property there. So I would love to have a team head out there and see what you're on. Northeast Tennessee is not far from us. So we're in Western North Carolina. So we butt up against that. So
yeah, no, absolutely. But again, if you tell us, we yeah.
Yeah, RPG's team would love to get there. Outcast would love
that. Yeah, Outcast Paranormal would love. And you know, you could also talk to Ginny and see if she because you might have a combo problem here.
Yeah, it sounds like it could be a vortex or some sort of portal area. It definitely
look up ley lines too.
Yeah, this area is hot for that.
So. Yeah, yeah, that's my
and a lot of caves in this area too. So,
yeah, thank you, Anonymous. That was sufficiently creepy. Again, any realtor out there that wants to sell haunted property, let us know. Okay, let's see. Here's an experience I thought could only be a dimensional shift. Ooh, I was living in New Orleans and passed through Jackson Square on my way to work every morning. Every morning was the same. I greeted the same tarot card readers and would wake up my friend Daniel, who was homeless and slept at his tarot card setup, to say good morning every day. This particular morning, I stepped onto the square and it was completely empty. Not a soul anywhere. No table setups, nothing, and no Daniel. I wasn't particularly disturbed because the readers were occasionally asked to move for this or that reason, usually filming. I just assumed they'd been kicked out of the square. I passed through and realized I'd forgotten something at home, turned around to go back, and they were all there, right where they were supposed to be. Even Daniel snoozing away. So what alternate square did I walk through? Cheryl. Ah! Ooh! Ah! Heebie-jeebies. Woo-woo-woo! That's a glitch. That's what we kind of call them, the glitches in the matrix. That's what I would assume is that you dimensional shifted. And it's not what dimension, because I think the theory is, and actually some of this has been proven a little bit with physics, there are multiple dimensions. So who knows which dimension you shifted through, right?
Or again, you know, as we've discussed, you could have been not 100% there yourself. You know, you could have been slightly shifted a little bit. You shifted through it, but maybe they shifted. It's we don't know. This is stuff we're still trying to figure out. This is early preternatural definition right here.
Yeah.
This is it.
No, so. Absolutely. But wow, Cheryl.
Sounds like you're in tune talking to all the tarot readers anyway. So I would ask them, what did they experience that morning? Did they feel anything different, or did anything pass by them and stuff like that? So,
It's
and that area is pretty powerful anyways.
I was going to say there's so much there, but the other thing I'm kind of wondering is, Cheryl, if you look back at, did like kind of, you know, that self-reflect, we can like look around again to see what time period was it? Was there something different about the square that maybe you didn't think of at first that would tell you, even if it was the same time period that you were in? So anyway, super weirdness. Okay, Mark, go for it.
Okay, well, I got these back to back, which I thought was amazing. So this next episode starts, glitch in the matrix or a personal Mandela effect.
Oh.
So back in October, I wrote a letter to my daughters. The whole purpose of the letter was to tell them that no matter what happens, they should always stay together and stick together. The message of stay together was the whole purpose of writing this letter. I gave the letter to them at Christmas time. In January, I was talking to one of my daughters and asked her if she had read the letter, and I mentioned my message about she and her sister staying together. She said, "I'm not sure what you mean." I said, "My letter talks about you and your sister always sticking together." She said it didn't say anything about that. I had made a copy of the letter, so I went back and read it, and I was absolutely shocked. Nowhere in my letter was the message about staying together and sticking together. Completely missing. I literally remember sitting on my bed and writing this letter and the passion and intensity I felt as I wrote these words. What the heck, Janelle?
Ooh, that is a Mandela effect.
Yeah. Or, you know, again, the skeptic in you goes, all right, this could have been just simply you misremembered, or maybe you were passionate about it, but didn't put those actual words down. I have done that where I've written a thing and I thought I had written this amazing paragraph about something. And then when I reread it in my edit later, I'm like, wait, I skipped that important plot point that I meant to put in that story. And how did I skip that? That's the important part. And I know I put it in there, but I was so busy typing that my brain thought I had already typed it and I was already moving on to the next sentence. So that can happen. But this says to me something may have changed the story, may have changed the letter. So.
No, that's super creepy. I go with super creepy at that point in time. Yeah.
Now, Janelle, I'm sorry I don't have an answer for you, but thank you for sharing, because wow.
What? I would want you to write the letter again.
Yeah.
And
do it what you intended to write. And this time send it, you know, a couple places.
Like, I would email it. I would type it and I would email it and see what happens, because we all have multiple email addresses. Yep. Let's be honest. So
save a file in the cloud, save a file everywhere. You know.
Yeah. No, I agreed. Okay. So let's see. I tried to send this to your Erie Travis email, but the video wouldn't send. So here's my listener tale. Oh, God. There was a video. Okay.
Yeah. Sadly, I still haven't gotten the video. So.
Okay. Well, here we go. Oh, now I'm regretting. See, this is why I think you do this on purpose, Mark. Musical little girl ghost at the Bellevue Inn. Okay. Ooh, preparing myself. I already got goosebumps. I have known about many ghost stories surrounding the old Bellevue Hotel for many years now. You could just do a show on this hotel. Maybe
true.
We should. Clickety-clack that, Bo. Bellevue Hotel. Where is the Bellevue Hotel?
Clearwater.
Oh, the Bellevue. Oh, okay. Yes. The
Bellevue Inn.
Yes. I'm sorry. It was called something else, right? Bellevue?
The Bellevue Biltmore.
Yes, that's it. Okay. In August 2020, I had my very own encounter. As Mark has talked about before on Erie Travels, the Bellevue Inn, and as it's known today, was restored starting in 2016 and is comprised of the original lobby and adjacent rooms. Greeting you in the lobby is a player piano, which sets the tone for a relaxed getaway amid traces of Gilded Age glamour and old Florida charm. This person's a writer. I love it. Yes. Okay. I'd been enjoying the piano on my stay and wanted to capture it on video via my smartphone. I waited until the current song finished and I was pleasantly surprised when The Sting started playing. Who doesn't love that song? I recorded approximately 30 seconds of the song in peace and quiet until another guest came into the lobby and I had to stop the video. I took a quick look at my video to make sure it came out okay as far as sound, etc. And to my surprise, I'm already getting goosebumps. Okay. To my surprise, I had captured a small figure in green mist on the piano bench. I watched the video a few more times to make sure my eyes weren't deceiving me. The green mist was still there. Once the guest left, I showed my video to the woman at the front desk. She said she's heard people capturing her on video before, but had never seen it until now. She said that this is a little girl, no idea the backstory of this girl, and she only appears when The Sting is playing, as it's her favorite song. What a special gift I was given for an enjoyable and relaxing staycation. She said she attached a video. Hopefully we can get it. This is from Susan. Susan, how is that relaxing? That is terrifying. That is not a good thing.
Oh, but... it was just a person listening to a piano. So, yeah, that's fine. It's not attacking or doing anything untoward. So, man, I do have lots of stories about the Bellevue Inn, especially when it was abandoned for a long while. It was a very popular destination for ghost hunters. It still is because of so many sightings there over the decades and all that. I think I've told my story about going there with the ghost hunting team on the last days before they were going to tear it down. Thankfully, they only tore down parts of it. They were able to salvage a lot of it. And I'm so glad it's open and restored. And if you take the, there's a trolley tour that goes through downtown Clearwater, and it goes right through the Bellevue Inn and tells some wonderful stories there. So definitely get a chance. We'll put the link to that in the show notes that you can, if you're in Clearwater, worth the trip.
Agreed, very much. Okay, so Mark, it's you.
All right. Oh, hey, I like how this one starts right off the bat. I couldn't believe my luck the other day. I was in a bookstore in Tampa and came across a book about Tales of Terror of Tampa Bay by Mark Muncy. Hey, I know that guy.
Do you? Yes, yeah, weird.
I think we're never in the same place at the same time, but I do hear about him a lot. So I picked it up and it was signed by him. Wow. Yeah. Hey, I used to sneaky sign those books all over the place. I went home with it and devoured it. I had never learned some of these legends, even from your other books. Yeah, I don't like to repeat myself. I've been looking for that book for years since it is out of print. I'm still looking for the Hellview book. Oh, yeah. Sorry, that one's long out of print. Anywho, I read the story about Pete and realized I had heard it before from my mother. I showed her the story. She is 86 now and remembered it like it was yesterday. She started crying afterwards. I asked her what was wrong, and she said Pete had almost gotten me as a child.
Oh, what? No, no.
Wow. Damn. All right. Sorry, that just gave me chills. I went cold at the thought of almost dying as a child from some sick and demented fuck that liked to kill children. Yeah. Mom and I talked for a while about other strange things that happened to us in that area of Pinellas Park to take our minds off that horrible thing.
Wait, we need to pause for 1 second. Who was Pete?
Pete was basically a child killer in a trailer park in Pinellas County. And we had heard the legend of him, and I based a story of Hellview Cemetery on him. And he was just a crazy guy, and he kept a kid kidnapped in his trailer and did terrible things to her, and then killed her and did terrible things to what was left.
I don't love that. No.
It was not fun. Let's get back to this, and I'll have to do a deep dive into that. But anyway, we based a haunt room on him at one point. So the Butcher of St. Pete. Let's see. So that night I went to bed and had crazy dreams about a dark shadow grabbing me and dragging me through my window. Only I wasn't in my old room. I was in our new house, and I realized it was really happening right now. I shook myself awake and realized I was halfway to the window, which was wide open. I swore I saw two red eyes and a scary grin outside looking in. I even thought I heard someone whisper, "Almost got you."
No.
I screamed and ran from my mother's room to check on her. I'm 59 and couldn't believe I was running to my mom's room like a scared little girl. She was in her bed crying and awake. She looked up at me and asked if I was okay. I told her what had happened and asked her if she was okay. She told me she was being held down on the bed by a dark force. She was convinced Pete had come for both of us.
Oh, God. Yep, all the way through my body. Goosebumps. Look at my arms. Stop.
No. I often wondered why your book is out of print. Is it cursed? Maybe. Is Pete summoned by people thinking about him? Is this some Freddy Krueger shit? What can we do? My mom and I went down to the crystal shop and stocked up. We've also had our friend come over and sage the house in the books. It could have just been nightmares, but I think we all know better. Mary.
Oh, Mary.
Oh, Mary. Thank you for a trip down memory lane and a trip to Nightmare Land. Oh, man.
Yeah, no.
I had forgotten all about that story.
You know, well, we have to hopefully both clickety-clacked it and added it to the list, but I would say too, one has to be, I feel sometimes careful when one opens themselves up to having been the effect of something, because you don't know what's out there waiting for you to pull your space back and give them space. That's how I'm going to say it. Things waiting in the wings, because of course it's going to come as your nightmare. That's even, you mentioned Freddy Krueger, but that's what Freddy Krueger did, was whatever the kids' nightmares were, right?
Yeah. In our version of the story, when I did the story for the book, I had basically turned it from the trailer park story to an old moonshiner in a house, because that when I was doing Tales of Terror Tampa Bay and the Hellview stories, these were the Hellview versions of the legends. They were the spooky versions. With Tales of Terror Tampa Bay, I did the spooky version and then I did the real history with it. Just a little like paragraph or two about the real history. And that's what got the attention of my publisher, which later became Eerie Florida and Eerie Travels and stuff. But I never tried to repeat a story even through all that, because some of these were just weird stories. And that one was one that, man, I'm sorry I gave him life there. That's kind of creepy. So,
Yeah, no, that is super creepy. And Mark, shame for
yes.
shame. So, okay. Do we have, should we do one more and then
Think
take a
one
break?
more before the break and then we'll dig into the rest of these. So, yeah,
Okay.
there's a lot, gang. There's a lot. So,
Okay, here we go. Greetings, travelers. Greetings.
greetings.
I live in Eastern Ohio in the Wright Patt flight path. I've heard so many sonic booms that I'm used to them. I've seen crazy lights in the sky and can confirm we've got secret stuff in the sky doing amazing maneuvers that the public don't know about yet. With all that said, I think I saw the Grassman Bigfoot last month.
What was that? The Grassman Bigfoot last month. All right.
With all that said, I think I saw the Grassman Bigfoot last month. I thought this was going, like, this is going to be one of those things that X yells at us about. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, let me state for the record that I'm an avid hunter and I've heard all the stories. We do have bears in the area and I've seen them. We've also seen some big cats that aren't supposed to be around here, but definitely are.
Weren't we just talking about that?
Yep, we were. I've heard my father talk about seeing the Grassman when he was younger and his brother out in the hills nearby while hunting. I'd never really given it much thought. I was coming out of my back door to get some wood for the fire. As I walked towards the shed, I saw movement in the tree line. It was just before dark, so I know animals tend to be more active around them. I looked closer and saw it. It was huge. It had to be 8 feet tall and was built like a linebacker. I've seen videos and sketches, and they're exactly right. It looked like a very tall, very heavy creature with two legs and very broad shoulders. It had no neck and was covered in brown and gray fur. As I looked at it, I was drawn to its face and it almost looked human, but enough ape features. The eyes locked with mine and then it ran off in a second. It was faster than a deer and didn't make a sound. I couldn't believe how fast and big it was. It was so silent. I only realized I had missed a shot at getting it on camera. But it was gone fast. I never even had a chance to go for my phone. I texted my wife inside that I was running off into the woods to see if I could find it. I knew if I called her, it would run even faster. I took off in the woods where I'd seen it and looked for tracks. I knew if it was that big, it should have left some prints. I saw nothing. I looked for broken branches or anything. I couldn't find anything. It was like it had vanished into nothing. You always say to report, so here's my report. I've set up a trail cam near the area, but I doubt I will ever get that close again. I am now a believer in Bigfoot. I've always been a ghost believer, but now I think maybe I saw a ghost Bigfoot. Maybe? Harold. Hello, Harold. First of
Hello,
all,
Harold.
I
Welcome
love
to my
this
world.
story, and that would be me. I actually, if I saw that, would not even think about pulling my camera out, which is terrible. But I would be like, okay. I also, Harold, am not a fan that you're like, you know what I should do? I should run after it in the woods. Because we've talked about that many times being a terrible plan. So I'm glad you're safe, but let's not do that. Let's not,
I
it's
do
8 feet
like that
tall.
he texted the wife, because he's like, if I call her, it's gonna scare it.
Yeah.
But I'll text her and say, hey, but he was smart enough to say, I'm running out into the woods, and if I don't come back, I'm chasing a Bigfoot.
It's that's amazing. That's just purely amazing.
And that
So,
right pad area is there. I mean, that whole area of Eastern Ohio is there's a lot there. It's a lot more open than people realize. You think the big cities, Dayton and Cincinnati and all that, but there is a lot of open area, and that's where these things are.
yeah, no, agreed.
I
Agreed.
live just outside of Dayton, and it was cornfields and forests, like just outside of the city, and a couple blocks from our house, and then we would get lost in them. So yeah, it's easy to hide things there. And thanks for reporting that. We will add that to the BFRO website if it hasn't already been added. I will
Yes.
double check. So Harold, I'm going to reach back out to you though. I'd love to get a team out there.
You know, again, we were talking about this just the other day. RPG and all of them, we could get them up there because they've got a whole team going
Oh,
up there, don't they?
there's Ohio teams too, and our friends at Wild and Weird, they're right
Yeah.
there. Oh my
Let's.
gosh. But yeah, with that gang, wow, Bigfoot, Fae, Ghost Freddy Krueger type thing. Oh my gosh, this is that you guys just overwhelm us. So we'll be back with more after the break. The sweltering heat of the Florida sun breaks as a chill runs down your spine. A dark shadow looms from a nearby tourist trap. You didn't expect to find this kind of shade in Florida. If only there was some sort of travel guide to steer you through the spookier locales. Well, you're in luck, reader. Join author Mark Muncy and Carrie Schultz as they lead you through the darkest locations in the Sunshine State in creepy Florida. Available from History Press and at fine bookstores everywhere.
Prepare to be devoured. The Wolves of Wharton is a six-part complete book series by Eerie Travels producer Bo Lake. It has been called dark and visceral, steamy, dramatic, and a fresh take on the werewolf mythos. If you like action, adventure, a large serving of body horror, and some steamy relations, the Wolves of Wharton series is for you. Pick it up wherever books are sold or at linktree.com/bow_lake.
Okay, we're
Wow.
back.
Yeah, one last thing on my old books that are out of print. They're out of print for reasons. Books go out of print for different reasons all the time. And my original Helvey book was done by a publisher that's gone under, and I don't know exactly where the rights are. And then that Tales of Terror Tampa Bay book was a self-pub that was done with an author that we don't associate with anymore because things happen. So I'll have to maybe look back into revisiting them at some point. But that's why those are gone, and they're not worth the hundreds of dollars that sometimes I see them for on eBay. That's ridiculous. Don't do that. So,
Yeah, no, I agree. Okay, Mark.
all right. So next one, I like right off the bat. I saw a ghost at Gettysburg! Exclamation point. Yes,
Wow.
I am a Civil War reenactor. My group I am with often gets to go to battlefields all over, which is fantastic. I love that. My great great grandfather had fought for the Union, so I enjoy honoring his legacy. Our group even has a cannon that was actually used in the original Battle of Gettysburg and later in the movie. Oh, neat.
Wow.
We were set up one day for an event and had been doing drills all day for the tourists and ourselves. It really does feel like slipping back in time. We were there for the anniversary showing of the movie. And there were people from all over the world for this event. Yeah, I wanted to go to that, but it was the same weekend as Mothman, I think. So we couldn't go to that.
Yeah,
So
no, that's true.
anyway, my group had sat down for a quick dip into our flasks after a long march. We were about to do the long march back so we could watch the film. Suddenly, a lone rebel trooper jumps over the wall behind us and lands right in front of us. He was skinny, dirty, and had no shoes. He looked like he had jumped into a bear pit when he saw our uniforms. He said, "No trouble, fellas. I am skedaddling back home to my family and away from my rebs. Y'all whooped us good, and I got no fight in me. Let me go. I don't even have no guns or tackle. I just don't go and shoot me. We all just looked at each other and started to get to our feet. He turned and ran around the corner of a wall before we could even get up. I ran after him out of curiosity to see who he was because he was so in character. He had vanished from sight by the time I got to the corner of the wall, just a moment behind him. We all had a nervous laugh saying that was some great actor. When we went to the event, we all kept looking for the kid we saw. No sign of him. I posted about him in several groups, and nobody knows anybody who matches his description or claim to have stumbled onto us. I think we saw something preternatural, as you like to call it. What do you think, Rob?
Well, hello, Rob.
Rob, well, yeah. I love Civil War reenactors, and I love Civil War battlefields. I love all things history.
Wow. So, first of all, yes, I don't think you saw an actual person, because usually somebody would have recognized the actor or said, oh, yeah, he's, you know, Bob, part of our team. But yeah. Sometimes I kind of wonder, and just because I'm not an expert on this, but because we're not experts on anything preternatural, is whether or not the right circumstances have to be in place for the replay to happen. Mm. Meaning, you know, some people, like the song, the listener tale earlier, where you have to have the sting playing. I'm going to remember that forever. And every time I hear that song, I'm going to think about a creepy ghost girl sitting in the Biltmore. That has to occur to catch the situation happening. It just, like, the ghost isn't just sitting there all the time, every music playing. I think there are sometimes certain conditions. So I wonder if by the placement of these guys and how they were dressed and everything, if that particular human, that when they were a human, said that, but then got shot anyway.
Yeah, that's pretty epic. I like the skedaddling back home. You whooped the rug.
Because the language too, great actor, but the language is really, really interesting.
Yeah. And I know you guys are reenactors. You don't have cameras. You don't have your cell phones on you. It's not like you could take a picture of the guy or anything. So, wow. That's all I'm going to say with that one, Rob, is wow. And I hope that you have more experiences like that. Let alone traveling with a cannon from Gettysburg is incredible. And I'm proud of what you do. And I think that's amazing. So, and good for you having a grandfather that fought for the Union. Honor your ancestors, gang. Honor your ancestors.
Next one. Here we go. Any travelers from Pennsylvania? I know for a fact there are some travelers in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, we just had a letter from one.
Yes, and we have several guests that have been from Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. But
we'll be up there for Squonkapalooza.
Yes, we will. Oh my gosh, I have to say. Okay, just real quick side note, and then I'll get back to the story. So our lovely Enchanted Flower Bake Shop was telling me, because I said that she should make some squonk cookies for us, and I kept trying to explain, and I sent her pictures, and she's like, is this a real thing? And I'm like, you're in Pennsylvania, you could get shot for saying that. So she ended up getting a book on paranormal up from Pennsylvania. And she's like, she sent me a picture and she's like, the squonk is a real thing. And I'm like, I told you the squonk is a real thing. And she's like, that's it. She came up with cookies she's doing for it. I can't wait to share them. But anyway, that was
good.
That's our Pennsylvania. Here we go. My husband is a truck driver and was driving back from Maine back to Kentucky a couple years ago and had seen some pretty weird stuff. The first thing he had seen, he was driving on Interstate 70 West. He was driving pretty late, about 3 a.m., very few cars on the road. He said he was driving, he seen something huge and dark run across the left-hand side of the tree line, across east and westbound lanes of the interstate, about 75 yards in front of him. He said it came across the road so fast he didn't even have a chance to react. A couple of months later, he was traveling back from Maine again on the same highway just east of Ohio state line. He was on the shoulder of the road for his 10-hour break and kept hearing funny noises in the wood. He pulled his camera out and got some pretty creepy pictures. I'm trying to find them so I can send them to you all. Please do.
Yeah.
He doesn't believe in paranormal or urban legends or anything like that, but has absolutely no explanation for what he had seen. He swore he would never go back. Well, today we're heading to Greencastle and I'm freaked out, laugh out loud. I'm ready to nope out like Erica. Candace, you got in the car, my friend. Thank you for sending this story, but I've already noped out. I just got heebie-jeebies. We get a lot of stories from truckers that are seeing things.
Most of my original books, Erie, Florida, was from truck drivers and train conductors. A lot of train conductors sent me a lot of stories because they're out in the middle of nowhere in hours that nobody normally is. That's why they see, and they're out driving and they have to keep their eyes on the road. A lot of people don't realize how much intense you have to look for everything. You're not just looking at the car in front of you. You're looking all around you. So you're way on your toes more than a lot of other people. And you see a lot more of the country than everybody else who drives that 30 minutes to work and back or 10 minutes to work and back. You know, it's.
No, totally. And I'm just going to throw out there. So first of all, Candace, thank you for writing it. But
yes. I'd love more descriptions of what he saw. It just sounds like movement and dark, huge and dark. So we don't know if we're dog man or Bigfoot. It could be anything. Wampus cat. There's a lot of things that could be.
Oh, I hope it's not a wampus cat. Send us the emails and we wish you safe travels, my friend, because I definitely would have noped out of that situation. Trust me, I try to nope out of a lot of situations, but Mark is still like, you know what? Let's go to this really freaked out place. And I'm like, okay, well,
all right.
It's my job now. So
thanks again, Candace. All right. Yeah. So next one. My 7-year-old, last time they turned the CERN on, had crazy nightmares that seemed all too real.
What is a CERN?
The CERN Hadron Collider.
Yes.
Maybe Mandela effect, maybe other things. She'd wake up frozen, screaming, pointing at something. Now, again, last night, she saw and had the same thing happen. This time, she said she saw a goat man in the corner with long claws. Definitely freaked me out, and she's not a kid to have night terrors. Lee. Well, they did turn CERN back on during the eclipse. They did turn the Hadron Collider back on during the eclipse to see if the radiation was different and stuff like that. So, wow. I don't know what you saw, but you saw something.
Yeah, no, and that's not surprising. Kids are a lot more able to see things than we are, you know? Yep. Yeah, that's creepy. Thank you for sharing that with us. And creep factor of 10. But make sure you tell your kid how to protect themselves.
Yeah, and Bo wants to know if the goat man was hot, like the goat man from Pope Lake. So we'll see.
Well, Bo, you and your hot cryptids. And Honey Cummins in the hot cryptids. Okay, here we go. This is from Jake, our friend Jake.
Hey!
Jake.
One of our biggest fans. We love Jake.
Yes, we do. Greetings, travelers and crew.
Greetings.
Okay. So a couple of really scary stories for you. That's great. Why did I get this? See, Mark, I think you do this on purpose.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Totally. 100%.
Okay.
I stack the deck every time. Yeah.
So a couple of real scary stories for you. I was making lunch today and listening to scary stories, and I don't know why I rarely shared this story, but the second one I have shared before. Well, with people that I know. Our first story is very short and simple. My dad dated a murderer once.
There you go.
Okay. Short
and simple. Done. No.
This is, well, and that was the story. No, just kidding. Okay. This was always back now for reference. My vision was a lot better. And I think I was in my early mid-20s. No, definitely early 20s or late teens. My dad dated this woman who had went to prison for killing, I believe, her husband or boyfriend at the time. From what I understand, she got a limited sentence, but I don't believe it was self-defense. My dad and I, unfortunately, are very kind-hearted people, so sometimes we date the wrong person.
Well, I've been there.
Jake preaching to the choir on this. Okay. To quote as saying my father once told me, sometimes you have to kiss a lot of frogs until you meet your princess. And sometimes you date people that seem great at first, but end up being terrible people that are either going to treat you horribly or use you maliciously. That is unfortunately true. This is kind of one of those cases where the woman was trying to use my father for everything she could. The woman's sister was a very nice, sweet woman that had even warned my father of this. I had gotten bad advice from her that was very, very protective of my father for lots of reasons, not just because his son. And when I met this woman, she gave me an awful vibe. I found out later of her wicked past. Don't get me wrong, I believe in redemption, but this person seemed to have a pattern of using people. When I met them, I got a terrible vibe and even tried to be cordial. I always gave back the vibe of don't F with me and my loved ones. You don't want to know what will happen to you. Especially back when I was quite fiery, so I had no problem giving out the vibe of being protective and vicious if need be. I cannot legally say what I would have done to her now she tried to harm my father, though pretty sure at the time he can still handle himself, and even in this time he's still quite a capable man. Anyways, they dated for a long time, and I really don't like this woman, and thankfully they never stayed together, and that's the story of how my dad dated a murderer.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, that happens.
That is very interesting. Okay, do you want to do story number two?
I'll do story number two. Yeah, story number two. Again, this is one of those stories where my father and myself are known for sometimes dating not the right people. Sometimes it's not the people themselves, but sometimes the people they're surrounded by. This short story is about a short amount of time where my dad dated this woman who seemed very nice, but she had a psychotic ex-boyfriend or ex-husband or whatever he was. He was in and out of prison and jail, and he purposedly killed her fish by putting bleach in the tank, amongst other things. Ugh, the worst. This guy was unhinged. That being said, when you mess with my loved ones, I can get quite unhinged myself. But that's another here nor there, and we'll put that aside. Yeah, agreed. Jake, agreed. Yeah. But one night, I thought it was part of a dream, and I had heard the kitchen window glass shatter, and my dog was going nuts while the dog I had at the time. I sluggishly got out of bed, and it clicked in my head that this was not a dream. As I ran into the kitchen, my dad was coming out of his bedroom, which had adhesive in the kitchen, and told me to stop there because there was glass on the floor. I ran back in my room, jumped into a pair of shoes, and grabbed my 16-gauge shotgun I had at the time. Threw a couple shells in my pocket and put one in the breech. Yeah. Ready for business. Keep that handy for close encounters. I ran out of the back door off the porch. Thankfully, this psycho didn't hurt my dog or anything as he was rounding the corner and trying to drive away. I couldn't take the shot because there is a house right across the street and I didn't want to accidentally hurt innocent people just to stop a scumbag. Anyway, I go back inside and there's the remains of a broken beer bottle all over the floor along with the glass that had been broken out of the beer bottle size hole through the window. We called the police, said they didn't have enough evidence to do anything about it. We were left, of course, to clean up the mess and shake our heads. Thankfully, it didn't take long to clean up. We know who had done it. My dad looked at me. I looked at him. We went for a drive. We did not find the man or anything like that, so don't worry. But all I can say is that psycho, that human piece of garbage, is they have a thing coming about karma. Thanks for listening. These stories are not my most enjoyable stories. I have far better stories about the preternatural and supernatural that I will share. But just remember now, folks, sometimes the monsters are wearing the same skin you're wearing. Blindy. Jake, we love you, man.
We do.
In Ohio, when I was a kid, we had someone break into our house and my dad wound up stand your ground on the guy. Didn't kill the guy, but shot him in the knee with a shotgun. So it happens, sadly. And that honestly is why people always ask me, Mark, why do you read about these scary monsters and you're going out looking for ghosts and things? I'm like, why aren't you terrified? And I'm much more terrified of this. The wrong person in the wrong place. That's 1,000 times more likely to hurt me than a UFO beaming me up and being abducted.
Humans are the worst kind of monsters in the world.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. I think we have time for a couple more.
We got about four more and they're all kind of short, so I think we should be good.
Okay, here we go. My 2-year-old is saying Zozo again and also says ghosts. And said, they're coming, and it's coming. Ah! Okay. Last year when she said those things, shortly after, it destroyed my house, flipped furniture, broken appliances, mirrors, etc. This has been going on and off for the past 2 years now, since October of 2022. First time it happened, house was demolished for almost 3 months. Then it stopped for a few months. Last year, it didn't start up again until August, and then did it again, demolishing my house. And it follows and destroys others' homes I'm at or does things at others' homes. I only seen this entity one time, but my children seen more than one occasion. It's a creep for sure. I went to Deliverance back in December, so I thought things would be fine. Everything's been peaceful all year, but now my 2-year-old is saying its name again and seeing it. I honestly don't think it ever left. It just likes to cause chaos for a little bit and then disappear for a while and then come back. I just don't want it destroying my furniture again. Tired of buying or getting new stuff every year and dealing with this thing harassing my kids and I. April. Oh. April.
Zozo is one of those. it became a creepypasta.
Okay.
But again, it was one of those legends that I had heard about in Tampa Bay area, and we put it into the haunt at Hellview, and I painted it on the wall at one point, you know, Zozo and all this. And then somebody's like, oh, hey, you're doing that creepypasta thing. And I was like, this was back in the day. So I was like, what's creepypasta? I hadn't even heard of creepypasta at some point. And what somebody had done is they'd actually taken our story about Zozo that I had written for the Hellview website and put it on the creepypasta website. And it had a million likes and subscribes and things. I was like, wait a minute, that's ours. And that actually became the Hellview book, was one of the inspirations for that. Us doing the book was because we were so pissed off that somebody had stolen a local story and made it into this thing. So yes, Zozo is a creepypasta thing, but it is based on a real legend, that an urban legend from the Tampa Bay area. So, and Zozo could be Zuzu or Pazuzu, if you want to think.
If you want to think, just said Mark is the author of all creepypastas, confirmed. This might be
sadly a few were ripped off from Hellview's website,
but
we had no idea.
Back to the problem that you're having. I would contact Serenity Jenny and see if she can perceive this entity.
Her and Dave would be amazing to deal with. Or any, you know, respectable team. Just give us a call. We'll get you the right people. We'll send us another email. I would appreciate it. I did reply to this and I haven't heard back because I thought this one was important. So I did reply that one quickly. Please, you know, get back to us. We'd love to send a team your way to help.
Agreed. And let's help that. Okay. So next. Good morning. I'm going to tell you about another paranormal incident in my home. I've been emailing anonymously. Okay. My ex-husband and I have been in this house for 1.5 years when it happened. We were down in the basement watching TV one evening, and I came upstairs to make popcorn. I got the popper going and decided to run to the bathroom real quick. As I was going down the hall, a man stepped out of an empty bedroom. He had his head down like he was reading a book or something, but he wasn't holding a book. I immediately thought it was my husband because even though I couldn't see his face, it was definitely him. Then I noticed he was wearing a green striped shirt and green pants, the exact clothes he was wearing the day I met him in 1976. So I knew it wasn't him, laugh out loud. Okay. Those clothes were long, long gone. I said, "Who are you?" And he looked up and had a completely shocked look on his face and went poof. He vanished. It was definitely my husband's face. I was a little rattled, but I got You were only a little rattled? Anonymous. No, I'd be leaving. Okay. I was a little rattled, but I got popcorn and drinks and went back downstairs. He could tell something had happened, so I told him. He was more rattled than I was, laugh out loud. Yes, appropriate reaction, thank you. And by the way, I didn't realize until later that the bedroom door was closed, so he walked through it. I had no explanation for this, and it never happened again. Anonymous still. Wow.
Mm.
Wow.
Time travel or a replay?
Replay, maybe? It could be a glitch in the Matrix.
Yep. Something unusual. Something unusual.
Weird.
All right.
Anonymous. Thank you for your story, though.
Yeah, thank you, Anonymous. And keep them coming. We've loved them all so far. I think I remember your other ones. We'll see. So, all right. I like this one. Y'all. That's how you start a letter. Y'all. That's just as good as greeting travelers. Thank you. So yeah. Y'all, last night after dark, I went out the back door looking for my husband and called his name out loud and was answered with a yeah, but I knew it wasn't my husband's voice. I called his name again. I got another response. So what? About that time, here come my husband from inside the house. There is a small patch of woods that border our property, and every day leaves rustling around like they would if someone ran away. My husband searched the entire grounds and couldn't find anything. We're new to the Virginia area near a lot of Civil War battlefields. I wish I could let it go, but I'm still wondering who it was that answered my call last night. Andrea.
Oh, I just got goosebumps again. Look.
Yeah. Look. Yeah.
No.
Andrea. If you hear someone call your name, that ain't calling for you, right?
Yeah, I would not. This is not a ghost thing. This is a don't do that again. and put some iron spikes around your property. That's what this is.
Yep.
No.
Oh man. Yeah, that definitely sounds like you've got some sort of hide behind or something out there. So
yeah. No, I don't love that at all.
There's a reason the lumberjacks have stories about things like that. And that's their stories that predate that. All right, we got two left, one big one and one short one. So you ready for this, Erica? Let's get them.
Yes.
Let's blitz them out. So.
Let's blitz them. Okay, here we go. I never really thought much about us living in a simulation.
These are both about the same thing. So okay. I'm excited.
I always supposed it was possible, but I've never really gone deeper than that. After today, I 100% believe we're living in a simulation. I travel for work, and as such, I use Google Maps all the time. I like it because it shows you a primary route, but lets you deviate and take alternate routes. I'm near Lake Michigan. I'm traveling west using my map, and I decide to take a right turn to follow an alternate route. All of a sudden, there's zero traffic. It's me on a long stretch of road. As I'm going along, I notice the trees along the road. They're all loading on delay, like when you play a driving game and the environment loads as you travel on your journey.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Been there, done that.
Instead of going to my intended destination, I stopped at a beach. Google says it was very popular. There wasn't a soul around, just a lonely toy truck. I get out of my car and start walking the pier. All of a sudden, there's a woman with a dog, the same dog as I had as a child, standing in front of me. We exchange pleasantries, and I discover this woman is familiar with my work. I work in opera, and is planning on seeing my show tomorrow night. I'm 2 hours away from where we're performing. I don't like this. Okay, I get back in my car and drive 10 minutes down the road and stop for dinner at a restaurant on the beach. There's a lot of people there, but it's quiet. Everyone is talking in a whisper. I order my food, burger and fries, and it's ready in about 60 seconds. What? While I eat, it was cooked to perfection. I tried to listen to the others' conversation, but nothing was intelligible. The waiter checked on the table 4 different times, asked them how they were enjoying their meal. They shook their heads. I assumed it was to say it was satisfactory. The only problem was they didn't have any food in front of them. I watched the waves through the window, and they hit the shoreline in exact intervals, like it was the same image on loop. Clouds filled the sky, but they did not move. I get in my car, fire up Google Maps to head home. Once I hit the same point in my journey I'd originally started my deviation, traffic returned, and things felt normal again. I think I went on a side quest, and the Matrix had a hard time keeping up. I think the NPCs knew who I was and were confused as to why I was on that part of the simulation. There is no doubt that was my dog, Joseph. Well, Joseph, you've officially scared the shit out of me. Thank you.
Wow. That's definitely a slip through something there. You went behind the walls.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Whoa.
That's fucked up is what that is.
And it's funny for me is how we got two of those in a row earlier, and we got two of these in a row within a day of each other.
I'm telling you, there's a glitch in the Matrix.
Yeah, I think the CERN collider started up and triggered a few things. So, all right. So here's the last one, and it's another, I believe we're in a simulation now. So I feel the need to share. It happened a few months ago. I live in an urban area and had to be in my province's capital city. So like 500,000 people for errands on a Saturday morning. I needed to get to my bank, and Google Maps took me to a downtown street, one I've been down before many times. As soon as I turned down that street, there was absolutely no traffic, and the entire parking terminal was empty. I parked, walked across the street to my bank, only to realize they were closed. I turned around and walked back to my car, but paused to take in the strange feeling. There was still not a single vehicle passing by, not a single person walking. The entire time I drove away, still thinking this is very strange. And once I turned to the next road, the traffic was suddenly bustling again. It was so strange. A huge city, normally busy street, but stone dead Saturday mid-morning. I am a believer now, Jen.
Wow, Jen.
So wow. That's right in with that last one. My gosh, two in a row. And these were both sent right after the eclipse. So
I, you know, it's very interesting, but I have to say that the more and more I think we're willing to talk about it, because people have like these experiences and then think they're crazy for having these experiences, right?
Right.
Like they're like, oh, that couldn't be what I experienced, because people would go, oh no, you're crazy.
Yeah.
But that's not what is happening there. And I think it's, and when you say right after the eclipse, you got to wonder how much that kind of stuff affects things.
Right. There was stuff going on. We were getting all kinds of letters and questions and stuff. And then, so these, man, gang, you guys always deliver the goods. This was,
yeah.
I hope you enjoy them as much as we do. And I think, yeah, there are some scientists who are 100%. We're living in a simulation. And there are some scientists 100%. We're living in a parallel universe from what we were 10 years ago, 20 years ago. So it's, man. Yeah.
It's
Dolly had braces. That's all I'm saying.
No, and we will do, one of the things we want to do is the Mandela Effect episode. We'll do another
follow up
of this and talk a little bit about the glitches in the Matrix, but we'd love your stories, listeners. Tell us your stories. You know, do we have any travels we want to do for this episode, Mark?
Oh my gosh. Well, Gettysburg, 100%. That story alone drew me in. I would definitely say go visit that. The Bellevue Biltmore down in Clearwater, Bellevue Inn now. And you can stay there. Say hi to the bellhop on the third floor. He's the ghost that we visited. But say hi to the little girl, I guess, out by the piano. You know, the hills of eastern Tennessee, eastern Ohio, Wright-Patt Air Force Base you can go visit. We were there. They have the Air Force Museum, which is right up there with the Air and Space Museum at the Smithsonian, I think is probably one of the greatest collections of air memorabilia and stuff like that. Very cool. I would definitely say don't visit that trailer park in Pinellas Park.
No. God, it's no. Let's not even talk about him. Let's give him no more power.
Yeah, no more. Well, no more power. I would say visit your crystal shops, get some railroad spikes from antique stores.
Absolutely do that.
And definitely buy some salt and then light a big bonfire for Beltane and purge the end of the year. Purge the winter and prepare for a bountiful summer and a fun harvest.
Yes, 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 yes. All of these things. Yes.
And oh my gosh, these stories are amazing. And thank you all so much for sharing them with us. And
yes,
if you have stories you'd like to share, eerietravels.com has links to all the things, including our Patreon and our new gift shop.
Mm-hmm.
You can get the books, you can get lots of things, you can get stickers and prints.
You can get the stickers, the prints, all of our books, books, Bo's books, all of them are there.
Everything's amazing. There. So it's up and running. Everything's going, and we will be heading out traveling in May. We're heading up to the Hodag Fest in May. We've got all of our events are on that site.
Yes. So,
man, Erica, anything else you want to say?
No, I'm completely freaked out now and need to go like hug a tree or something. Jeez, like I'm afraid to go outside of my house.
Man, we had everything on this. Bigfoot, Rougarou, Wampus Cats.
So many glitches in the Matrix.
Fairies, ghosts, hauntings.
Yeah.
So much, and then even a hide behind or whatever out in the woods there. So, man, you guys, I can't thank you enough. Travelers, we've been doing this for a while now, and it just keeps getting better.
Absolutely,
thank you all so much.
Keep sending us your stories and everything. We love you guys being on this traveling journey with us. And
you're not crazy.
Yeah, you're not crazy. We appreciate you thoroughly. And Mark, why don't you do one of our producer's favorite things, which is your takeaways?
All right, gang. Well, stay safe out there as you travel the roads. Remember, Google Maps is not always your friend, and it might take you on the wrong turn that might lead you to an adventure, but also might lead to a place you don't want to be, and you better nope out of there. And we will see you on the other side.